Merciful God, gracious and benevolent through your Son, you invite all the world to a meal of mercy. Grant that we may eagerly follow his call and bring us with all your saints into your life of justice and joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption of God's own people, to praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who, when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The course was entitled Summer Greek. It's a sort of seminarian boot camp where for 7 consecutive weeks, You spend hours upon hours every day learning the original language of the New Testament. It's a lot of memorization, which includes the Greek alphabet, vocabulary words, and a variety of grammatical rules that help you piece it all together. A typical day began around 8 a.m. with morning chapel. At 8:30 a.m., we took a daily quiz. Once the quiz was completed, we were assigned 30 or so new vocabulary words that needed to be memorized by the next day. The professor then lectured upon new material. We ate lunch around noon, although that was only a minor reprieve because we also had to start working on homework. At 1:15, we met in small groups, and the professor or a teaching assistant tested us on the homework translations. Small groups ended around 3:45. Our evenings were spent preparing for our quiz for the next morning, and our additional homework also needed to be completed. Each Friday, we had a test that, as the weeks passed, continued to grow in difficulty. Regardless of whether you excelled at Greek or whether you struggled at it, it consumed your life for 7 weeks. All of this work was building up to the final cumulative exam, simply known as the comp. If you pass the comp, you pass the class. For those who had taken Greek during college, they had the option to opt out of summer Greek entirely and simply take that comp exam. On the morning of the big test, I expected to see a few of those individuals in class. And as I walked out of chapel that morning, I encountered a new student named Tom. And Tom told me that he was going to take the comp. I asked him, "Well, where did you study Greek before?" He looked at me and he said, "I have never taken any Greek classes. I got the books a couple of months ago and I've just been teaching myself." "Oh," I surprisingly said, and offered him a friendly word of good luck as we made our way into the classroom. Well, not so shockingly, Tom didn't pass that test. I fully anticipated that would be the result because after having immersed myself in the language for 7 weeks, I knew there was so much more to learning it than simply memorizing vocabulary words. There are such little and yet extremely important nuances and intricacies that you can't simply pick up by reading a book. You need a teacher, a good teacher, to help you really understand what the language is saying. We find a similar scene in today's gospel text. The students have had a textbook for a long time, but they're far from mastering the language. Over the years, many prophets and rabbis have served as their teaching assistants, but even their help didn't quite cut it. God finally sent his own son, who literally embodied the language, the word, to teach all who would listen to him. For this particular lesson, the students gathered around Jesus, and he gave them one of the most impactful lectures of all time. The first occasion that the disciples heard this lesson, I bet they didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying. And that's okay. It is quite confusing to think about how someone who mourns or hungers can simultaneously be blessed. Similarly, it doesn't initially make a lot of sense as to why one should love their enemies and to pray for them. Good teachers, though, they know that sometimes it takes a while for new material to sink in. And so, Jesus continued teaching his lesson. And as he didn't just keep repeating the same words over and over. Jesus lived it. As Jesus lived his life, The disciples witnessed a hope and a joy that our blessings made possible for us to attain despite times of being in less than optimal situations. And after Jesus' death, when the disciples stood in the light of Jesus' resurrection, they saw the hope of God's eternal blessing where, in time, there will be no more hunger, no more grief, no more hate at all. At some point throughout these lessons, the disciples grasped what Jesus was talking about because eventually they started teaching the same thing. And over the course of time, there became more and more teachers. Today is a day that we remember and give thanks for the many teachers of the faith that we have had throughout our lives. These teachers have a special name. We don't refer to them as Mr. or Mrs. or Doctor or Professor. We call these teachers saints. They are the people through whom the light of God has shined for us. Their names are very familiar to us. St. Peter, St. Mary, St. Teresa, St. Martin. But we are also reminded of the saints who have gathered here in this place, within this community, saints who in a variety of different ways taught us the faith. Their names are St. Joan and St. Hal. These are the saints who have most recently joined the church triumphant that we specifically remember and lift up today. There are lots of saints, lots of teachers who have helped us get to this point in our lives of faith. And as I mentioned in the children's sermon, all of us are saints. I know it can be a little strange to think of yourself or to think of the person in the seat next to you as a saint. You know you're not perfect, and if the person sitting next to you is a family member, you definitely know they're not perfect. But being a saint isn't about not making mistakes. The word saint means God's holy ones. We are God's holy people, and we are called holy, not because we ourselves are holy, but because God is holy. And through the waters of baptism, God has named and claimed us as holy too. And as I just mentioned, a saint is one who reflects the light of God. They embody the faith and help show us, teach us how to live the Christian life. We have been given the book, the very Word of God, and God has placed people in our lives who help bring the Word to life. People like Peter and Mary, people like Martin Luther and Mother Teresa, and people like Wanda Yoder. I don't suspect any of you know of Saint Wanda. For me, she's one of the most important saints in my life. I didn't call her Saint Wanda. I simply referred to her as Grandma. And my grandma embodied the faith in such a way that even as a young child, I could understand. Whenever I went to my grandmother's house, it was quite common to find her sitting at her piano and singing a hymn. The family Bible would not only be out on a table, it was also likely opened and sitting next to a devotional booklet of some sort. She prayed every day. She was regularly joyful for no particular reason. She openly talked about her faith in regular conversation. She volunteered in her community. She treated others with respect. For better or for worse, I think she gave money to every single charity or religious organization that sent her mail or contacted her in some way. Throughout her life, she considered herself to be very blessed, even though her life circumstances certainly didn't always reflect that reality. But I think she recognized that when she was enduring those times of mourning or times of weakness, she knew she was never enduring them alone, And she knew she wouldn't have to carry those burdens forever. Saint Wanda didn't teach me about the doctrine of the Trinity. She didn't teach me about the nature of sin and evil. She didn't teach me about Greek. She did, however, teach me how to recognize God's blessings in my life. And she taught me what a difference it can make when we follow that golden rule of doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. As I said earlier, Saint Wanda is one of my most impactful saints in my life. Who are yours? Who are those people who embodied the faith for you? Summer Greek was certainly a lot of work, but nothing compares to the work that it takes to live the Christian life. And whether you're learning the language of Greek or the language of faith, you need more than a book to even begin to understand it. We thank God for giving us teachers, for giving us saints to model the life of faith for us. While we grieve those teachers who are no longer physically here, our responsibility is to continue to pass on the hope and the life and the love of God which they helped to form in us. And as we go about doing that work, their light, God's light, can be a blessing to everyone who receives it, regardless of what one's life circumstances may be. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yeah.